Stand down. You will not use lethal force against the landlord.
I open fire on him.
We all saw you. Point blank range. High explosive ammo. Your own commanding officer. Would you get on your knees and relinquish your service weapon?
What?
Get on your knees and relinquish your service weapon. We will take you as a gift out back. We're not standing for this. Sorry, Paul. Can't be done. You were wrong. He was right.
I look down to the floor. I feel them tensing up as I am holding the weapon out all around the handle to the person that stands next to me. I've relieved my other hand from the trigger, and I remove my other gun from its holster. I hand it over.
This is Red Moon Roleplay.
Foster looks at the guns, takes them to the side. The rest of the team have you dead to rights. Then the wheezing from the technological lung, the wheezing of the heart and lung machine that's going in the further down the corridor is heard clearly over everything. Khan is not gonna die tonight, but he's right here in Francis's arms. The man you shot, the man you betrayed, the man you had sworn follow always. Could you have misunderstood something? What's going on? The little boy looks at you. Oh. Fuck me. He raises to his feet, runs a few steps up against the wall. What kind of police are you? Answer me.
I look at him. Just a glance. And say, you'll be alright. Calm down. Breathe. You're safe now.
As you talk, you're being hoisted to your feet. Strong arms holding. We have arms locked behind your back. They can't take you talking like an officer. They take you out roughly down the hallway, down the stairs, dragging feet. Only after three floors, past the slick of blood that once belonged to one of the team members. Only then do they slow down.
My whole body screams. Pain. Falling those floors down. The hits. It's all whirring about in my head. But I'm cold.
It was swirling over in her head. Looking at your notes, Madeline, you realize he hasn't really said who shot who, how it happened, what happened. Doesn't seem to be important to him. Seems to be ignoring it completely. Maybe Francis has clearer recollections.
Francis, how much of the action did you see? Were you there for the whole thing?
I was there for most of it, yes. Obviously from a... not at the front line. For most of the action, it was my job to make sure people who were injured were safe.
Well, I could have a fear that perhaps Paul here isn't putting himself in quite the right light. Guilt can overshadow for many good soldiers. Is there anything you feel that he's missed?
Francis frowns a little, looks down, looks up again. Not really. He did fire upon our superior officer, but at the time he did so because we all believed Mr. Khan had been compromised, and as I have said before, that is the fault of Mr. Khan for the delusions he made upon the very unit he formed, furthered by the actions of Gabriel Ellis.
Yes, Ellis. Ellis has told
us. Her screams, you remember them so clearly. Switch to high explosive, use flames, anything. Dust it, grind it, destroy the fucker. She was speaking not to you, but to the angry men whose lives had been so ruined by a sad sack of fat blubbering on the floor. The shots didn't come instantly. No, there was... yes, the music. They shoved the mic into his face, all guns pointed at him, Gabriel screaming. And the little squibbly pixelated text of the old flickering TV started rolling, and he sang. Grotesque, crying, hulking. But he did sing.
Do you believe that Sergeant Ellis had any personal reasons to... that might have overshadowed her decisions?
At the time, I did not entirely. In retrospect, unfortunately, yes. That is something Paul is not saying, possibly out of some misplaced loyalty for her still, but she was the one who stressed the need for violence. She was the one, I remember, yes, she was the one who wanted things to escalate.
Yeah.
I believed Mr. Khan was compromised, but I do not believe Paul would have shot him so brutally as he did, if not for Ellis's encouragement. He trusted her implicitly.
Yes, as one should be able to trust one's team members, but could you define compromised?
Francis looks irritated. I have already mentioned that Isaac Khan was a delusional individual. He had beliefs about the targets that we were supposedly tracking. He formed the whole task force based on secrecy and enclosure, informing us that only we were in the know. And that combined with what I now believe was Ellis's infiltration, Ellis's sabotage, Ellis's involvement in many areas. I was fooled, and I'm an intelligent man. Can't blame everyone else for being fooled as well.
No, of course. These are the very typical actions taken by cult leaders and such. It is no wonder that he was able to draw you in.
And you've seen the reports. I reported several times oversight, I reported several times incompetence, I reported several times, to the best of my ability, to him himself, that his actions were not in accordance with the actual law. And again, once we were in that bunker, that facility, everything was controlled by him. But again, I...
I'm watching Francis with first a bit of surprise, then what seems to be grudging agreement.
And yes, in regard to all that, the situation was what it was. But yes, compromised. Again, the delusion he was leading us himself to believe meant at that moment we thought he was no longer in control of his senses, possibly even working with the individuals in the building. That's what I mean by compromise.
Yes, but the individuals in the building, according to these papers I have in front of me, the landlord, was it? He was never a police target.
No, that was Rudy. All along.
Yes, Rudy. But did you
know? Rudy was the one who convinced Gabrielle to throw all her values to the wind. I don't know how he did it. It went. I don't know. Maybe they'd met before. Maybe they'd met even before that day and the protest. She seemed.
Yes.
And then somehow he convinced her, along with Gilbert. They were all in on it. To extract their vengeance upon this. This pimp. This lowlife. Who had taken up residence in the building. Dealing in trafficking, child porn, drugs, boys, girls, apartments where you can get shot up without anyone knowing.
And somehow they were able to, I don't know how they got Khan involved, I'm willing to even believe he wasn't fully involved, but somehow they were able to convince him, using his government connections, his government resources, set it all up. I admit, counselor, it does seem petty to me to get that much government involved in such a simple revenge plot, but I don't know the full story.
Well, police were on their payroll. That's all we know.
Yes.
And her file, Alice's file, she was in the special task force on human trafficking. Primarily from Southeast Asia, but also from Eastern European countries. She was committed to that for 3.5-4 years. She had a lot of remarks for excessive violence back then. She has, as you can clearly see on the record right in front of you, about 20 arrests and complaints in this area that never went anywhere. At least two of them seem to have ended up with Boy's death. Her list of reports that have just been filed away and never acted upon is thick, each one of them written in a more scribbly and violent hand. She likely knew him. Or about him.
As to Khan's reasoning and reasons, I don't think it is as simple as money. This was a personal vendetta of his. Most likely going back several years, but culminating in the loss of his daughter.
She was recruited straight out of trafficking. That was 1 year after he lost his daughter. How is this all fit together? All your minds are racing. When did the first start with her? How much was a game? How much was she pressured? Did she owe someone? How did she learn of Isaac's instability? So many questions, but there it was, as she sank to her knees next to the murderous mob. Finally. Oh, you're gonna get it. Oh, you're gonna get it. It's a bit sickening to remember the deep sense of satisfaction that spread across her face as she gnawed his neck, chomping down, not making much of a mark, but symbolically. Sing, kid fucker. Sing. She wheezes to his face while they strangle him. You know I never meant to see you again, but I only passed by as a friend. Oh yeah. All this time, I stayed out of sight. I started wondering why. And now I wish it would rain down on me. Oh yes. I wish it would rain down on me now. The torch that Rudy was holding to his face, the one illuminating Gabriel's rage, must have triggered the sprinklers. Because as they start cutting into him and the first gunshots fly, sprinklers crack. Rain everywhere. Pools gathering. Blood pinkish. Not real. Him, old dead man. Maybe two gunshot wounds. Chaos. That was that.
Yes, well, perhaps I can clear up a few things for you, if there is nothing else you feel you need to talk about.
Rudy failed his revolution. The protests didn't go as he wanted. He wanted blood. Ellis wanted blood. And Gilbert, he knew what was going on. But he knew cops were on the payroll. So he, along with Ellis, they set this up to make us all look like idiots. Storming in, thinking we were facing a terrorist. It was nothing but a... And don't get me wrong, I have no regrets about his operation being seized. But unlike a terrorist, this man would have deserved a trial. I look down at the floor again.
Have you seized all the evidence from the facility Isaac was holding? You've looked at it, yes?
Oh, yes.
Good, then I'm sure you totally agree that by myself, not allowed additional help or additional resources because I was told it was top secret, that the evidence I was given was an excellent forgery. Hence, I wanted other eyes to look at it, but I was disallowed, so that is the only thing I am guilty of, is I admit medical oversight when presented with the tampered evidence. I don't know how they did that, but you've seen it.
Yes, you've seen it, Madeline. You've also seen the camera footage from the Wolf Dog Show. The dog show was closed early because of a bomb alarm, a fire alarm, set off by Francis. When you watch the footage closely, as you have so many times, you see he wakes with a start next to an old, dark gentleman. The man looks like he's still sleeping. Francis stepping up, looking confused, very confused, and then assaulting the elderly man, pushing him. There's chaos. He takes out a lighter. He runs through a corridor. He talks to an open door where nobody's standing, into an empty hallway. He lights the lighter and all of the sprinklers come off in the rush. Three elderly women break bones. One a femur, one a collarbone. 5-6 lesser injuries, but worst of all, a cute old man is left behind. Nobody looked in that specific bathroom. He wasn't found until after the weekend, and then he was dead. In this footage, it looks like he's talking to someone, waving arms about, but he's clearly talking to no one. You listen to Francis.
And well, you agree, don't you? You saw the documentation they forged? It looked accurate, and I had no one else to compare it to.
Sometimes old people become confused. It happens.
What?
It's tragic.
What do you...
But there's...
What are you talking about, old person? I've stated that as well. I've stated. A plant. That's how they did it. The one time I left that goddamn facility, someone then says they're following me, going to kill my family if I don't do as they say. It was all part of the ruse to make it seem as if I could speak to no one else. They planted the person. Yes, I set a fire alarm off. I thought I was in danger from the elusive individuals who I was told by Mr. Carr were hunting us.
Yes, well, we will help you with that. The independent organization that has sent me to aid with this is very interested in helping you out and helping you both, perhaps even out of here. Sentences are often shortened for things like good behavior and recognition of wrongdoings. Although perhaps we have to work a bit more with that.
Who exactly do you represent again? If you don't work for the... Who actually are you, counselor?
Madeline, your phone is going off. Glance at it and you can see that it is Khan.
Yes, excuse me a moment. I take my phone and step out of the room.
Are we done with this charade, Madeline?
Almost.
So was it that you thought?
They're confused. They have no idea.
It's been 6 months and still nothing. What happened to them? I should be in there and them out here. I was the one who fell for it.
They're safer in there for now.
I know, and that is the only thing that makes me play with you in this game.
Besides, we need someone in there when they're ready.
So when my men have outlived their use on the field, and must be thrown away, not to alert the tower, you'll find another use for them, huh?
Khan, this is very much your own fault. Had you listened to...
Keeping them ignorant and in their targets for God knows who. Don't you think I can guess what you're planning?
We're doing the best we can. We can't let them out right now.
We don't use police officers as bait. And we do not persecute them to life. Almost life sentences. More than life sentences. Life plus 30. In Paul's case, we don't do that. Except when we must. And now we do. And I understand. See why they can't know.
They interfered with an investigation they had nothing to do with. They almost endangered the lives of everyone.
Don't.
We're doing what we must.
Think I believe a single word of that. I know what it's about. It's about our entire endeavor being stillborn. If the tower realizes that we know, actually know, really know.
Stand down, Khan. Yes, you've done enough damage. Do you want these men's lives saved or not?
Yes.
If we let them out right now, they will be killed.
And if they remember, they will be killed, and worse. Our crusade will end before it started, and the queen will go free, and... none of the parties involved will be happy.
At least now we know where they are.
So, for now, we continue. We have it on good word that the next transfer from Birmingham will hold at least two of the escaped protesters. Possibly even one of the Tuesday tragedy stabbers. Maybe even an independent witness. They will arrive within a week. Have them ready. Make sure they don't suspect.
They suspect nothing.
Do you have her on the way?
Yes. But don't worry about that. We have Alice where we want her.
Can I ask one last thing? Madeline? Was he a blank? Or wasn't he? And the landlord, what was he?
At this point, that is really none of your concern. And we are not on a first name basis. Dismissed.
You don't know.
Visibly annoyed, I returned to the old office we've been using as therapy room.
Two of the three chairs full of broken policemen. London's finest. You've taken them for such a ride, haven't you?
Apologies for the interruption, gentlemen.
No worries.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts with me today. I assure you that we will do everything we can to help you. After all, none of this was really your fault.
I refrain from saying anything, but I cannot believe what she's saying. I knew the people I should have listened to. I shouldn't listen to my gut feeling. I should have listened to God. Instead, we threw ourselves into the fire. I cannot blame anyone else. And I'm prepared to take God's punishment for whatever comes. And that's all I've been thinking these last few months, ever since I, even in the sickbed, I was hurt pretty badly. Recovered somewhat once again, though I still feel like my leg is out of shape. I'm bent out of shape.
And Francis just scoffs, looks down. He's, under normal circumstances, would believe quite easily that he wouldn't be here for that long. He has good lawyers. He can afford them. He's not entirely sure what this is all about with this woman. He still thinks there's some government, something at a higher level that's going on here, and he's being scapegoated. They're all being scapegoated. Is it Khan, maybe? Himself. Part of it doesn't really matter. Getting in and out of jail isn't the important thing here. The important thing here is that it's all over. My career is ruined. I'm not going to be given a proper job after this on my record. I'll be lucky to be a cleanup at a volunteer shelter. Everything I've worked for nothing. For a moment, I believed I finally had what I wanted. Ugh, what a waste.
First an amber light, then a green one. Door lets you out. Down the stairs. Where you follow the numbers on the lines on the floor, Paul. To your cell. It's an open cell. Yeah. Welcome cell. There's only 5 of them down here. Spacious cells, not shared. Open bathrooms, everything visible. Suicide watch. You know well that the first 24 hours are always the worst. If you're gonna lose someone, they will probably show it within the first hours. Francis is already processed, not here. Instead, you have the greaser with just a few teeth locked in, straight ahead. The tattoo of the amorphous Christ-like shape. It's got more tats, all of the shoulders. He's mumbling something. This is gonna be a long night. Francis' cell has the privilege of a door with a hatch that you can look through. That means certain angles in the cell are not visible. Even when one of the guards moves for an inspection, it is very hard to see the part closest to the door. And there, just before sleep, he uncoils it. The ripped part of a t-shirt keeps bound so tight. So tight. Not even the pat-downs have found it. Doesn't really know what it means, but it's important. In brownish, stainy, blotchy letters on the grey t-shirt fabric is spelled 2 words. The first one, Duchesky. The other one, 14 group, deoxyhemoglobin. 14 group. The grease-haired man speaks somewhere around dawn. I don't think any one of you has slept. You awake by something slamming. Boris, did you sleep? Not sure. He threw a cup. And now he's staring at you. You know, the Rastas, they believe that you were sent by Yah, you know? elite soldier shooting his detective inspector in the face. That's a dream come true of you. The Babylon killing Bobby. Bobby Bullseye. Yeah, the idiots with short hair, they say, you killed the Paki, good. Only you didn't kill him, did you? You just ended up. How is it now? Paralyzed from waist down, something like this. You have your faith still? I'm blabbering, ain't I? But you're here and I'm here. I came after you. It took a lot of work finding out where they would put you. And now we're here together. Do you want to pray with me? I'm Dino. That's what they know me. Dino, yes. Half from Naples. Mom, Naples, yeah. You're Paul Richards. You should have been mayor or something, yeah? But instead, you are a legendary hunter with no mercy, no boundaries to call your own. That's why I'm here. You know, I had to stab a man to end up here. I couldn't pick. So I let the cross fall, took the first one. Oh, shame. Rare blood type.
I am.
You want to pray with me, Richard boy? He stares at you and interrupts his monologue for a second.
I have troubles discerning if I'm awake or asleep almost. The lack of my sleeping pills, the abstinence. I don't know when I had a good night's sleep last. But he's there, isn't he? He's talking to me.
He's looking up. The red light. No one is watching. Otherwise somebody will be at the door. He looks at you, realizing there can't be any guard. Close. I mean it. You are what we need. Pray with me. Pray with me.
Words are floating across my head as I'm half seeing him. I'm hearing him. It's almost as if it echoes along with the names of Ash and Sons. Philip Scriven, Lysa Nubrovich. Yes. I'll pray with you.
Though I walk through the shadow of death. So it begins. First English, but it switches to Latin fast. The quicker than water memorized prayers of a devout Catholic. Like a rosary, it runs between his lips. But then, a strophe that is strange to you. A praising of a saint you haven't heard. We will not let the sacrifice of St. Leopold be in vain. We will not let the sacrifice of St. Leopold in vain. We're not a society anymore. Canonization has happened. And you are what we need. They will study poke prod, but you show that when it's needed, you will shoot your king in the head for the king of peace.
Ah, I feel as if I'm not sure what's happening to me. Something. It's as if my whole body is convulsing and shaking. And I realize my cheeks are wet. And the floor beneath me is cold. As I sit on my knees in the cell.
In her study, Madeline turns the pages of her book. It's hard to concentrate on reading, especially the dense late 1870s prose of this supposed monography. It just won't stick. Keep rerunning the tapes of the interview. Events of that night. The only copy. This one. That tape. Plastic square. It's popped in again. It starts running. We can clearly see the team go in. Richards. Gun. Up. And in front of you, you see what really happened. What really happened when the landlord sang. And what the rain really was.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the chronicle No Man is an Island for Vampire the Masquerade 5th Edition. Our storyteller was Martin Erickson, and we were also joined by Anna-Karin Linder. The music was created by Lola Zaza, and the sound effects are from the fine folks at freesound.org and Sirenscape. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschobert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, and David Hogbatty for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. And remember, death is not the end.